Coffee House Shots is sponsored by EDF, Britain's biggest generator of zero carbon electricity. Find out how we are busy helping Britain achieve net zero at www.edfenergy.com.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Isabel Hardman. We just had Prime Minister's questions, and it wasn't the usual duo. Boris Johnson is still in America, so instead it was Angela Rayner versus Dominic Raab. Isabel, how did that go?
Well, these deputising sessions are always much more of a sort of political knockabout, a little bit more pantomime-y even than typical Prime Minister's questions that we have, which some listeners might think, how is it possible for it to be even more like a pantomime? But there we go. And Angela Rayner certainly had plenty of material to work with, not least Dominic Raab's expensive holiday that was particularly ill-timed given it took place while the Taliban was taking back over Afghanistan. His more recent reported spat over who gets access to the Grace and Favour mansion chevening, and then more serious issues such as the cost of living and soaring energy prices and universal credit. I think it's fair to say that Angela Rayner had a much more enjoyable session than Dominic Raab, who always lacks the sort of aplomb that Boris Johnson manages to deploy when he's avoiding answering questions. Dominic Raab didn't answer any questions today, apart from the crucial detail, which was that Chevening is not taxpayer funded. It's actually funded by a charity, he said rather testily when Angela Rayner had been mocking him. You think of all the things he could have dodged. He could have just ignored that barb, which wasn't even the main part of her question that she was asking. But he's got this irresistible tendency to quibble details when his own work ethic, when his own sort of morality is being questioned. He always makes the story get a bit worse. And he did this over his holiday by talking about the beach, the sea being closed and all that sort of thing. So Angela Rayner came out of it better than Dominic Raab, which I think everyone was expecting. But I suspect Dominic Raab's approach to the whole session was that he just needed to get through it and survive. And so on that measure, he probably will be happy as well.
James, this was Raab's, I suppose, first high-profile outing since he was moved from Foreign Office to Justice and made Deputy Prime Minister. Do you get the sense in the way that he was presenting himself that he had been promoted or demoted?
I think if you were Dominic Raab and you were told, by the way, Boris Johnson's away and you'll be deputising at PMQs, I doubt his heart rose in that after you've had the humiliation, I think is a fair word to describe it, of, you know, losing your job as Foreign Secretary, everyone knowing that you were sat there haggling with the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff over what job title you would get. You don't really want to face Angela Rayner, who kind of doesn't play by Queensbury rules, if you see what I mean. She quite likes to punch below the belt in PMQs. Now, and this obviously matters for Angela Rayner, because one of the things that Labour MPs feels is that kind of Keir Starmer's kind of loyally style just doesn't work against the kind of torrents of bombast that come out of Boris Johnson. And today she was showing a different way of getting PMQs. This wasn't a kind of loyally inquisition carefully building up. This was basically throwing a series of pre-scripted insults at the chap standing opposite you at the dispatch box. And that was that. And the reaction of Labour MPs did seem a bit warmer than when Keir Starmer does it. Partly because there was just a bit more vigour to it. And other people have said this, it was a little bit of a role reversal today at PMQs, which is, you know, Dominic Raab was careful on the detail. Angela Rayner was broad brush, suggesting that basically the Chevening is taxpayer funded when it's not, which is just the kind of error that if he was the leader of the opposition, you can imagine Boris Johnson making. And you know, jibes about his holiday in Crete and how much it cost and all this stuff. So I suspect that if you played it back to the two leaders of the party tonight, one of them would feel more secure in their position and one of them would feel less secure.
And meanwhile, Isabel, Keir Starmer, I'm sure, was looking on at Angela Rayner's highly praised performance. And given he's not received so much praise recently, I'm sure it didn't give him that much comfort to have such an able deputy. But how is his plan for a rule change progressing when it comes to Labour conference and what we talked about the podcast yesterday, with moving back to the electoral college, reversing the Ed Miliband changes?
Well, he's been holding talks with the leaders of the various Labour-affiliated trade unions today. And his hope had been that he'd get unions like Unison, Usdaw and GMB on side with this. Now, it was assumed that Unite was dead against this rule change that would move back to the Electoral College and away from one member, one vote. But Unite have now said that they would like a special conference to discuss this. They still have fundamental problems with the principle of what's being proposed, but they may be able to negotiate over some of the details, which I suppose it, in one sense means it might not be a massive fight at the start of Labour conference, which might actually be quite inconvenient for Keir Starmer if he's using this reform to define himself against sections of his party. But it also suggests that he may also be able to have some kind of discussion with Unite that didn't seem open at the start of this.
And meanwhile, we have Boris Johnson's trip to America. He's made some more comments today relating to Macron. Can you talk us through them, James?
So up to now, Boris Johnson has been very restrained. The French accusation that this shows that, you know, Britain is settled into kind of vassalage to the United States, and that what global Britain means. He hasn't responded to that. And that was, I think, a good thing. I think that, you know, one of the things that has driven this huge deterioration in Anglo-French relations over recent years is that for domestic political reasons, neither the Johnson government nor the Macron government can resist, you know, when the other side throws a punch, can resist returning it with interest. And up to now, Boris Johnson has resisted from doing that. But today, he's broken into his favoured franglais to say, you know, donnez-moi un break, prendre un grip. You know, the French are overreacting to this submarine deal. I think responding at all to the French is a mistake. I mean, it was much better to stick to Boris Johnson's previous position of just saying this isn't designed to exclude anyone. I think it's also worth noting there is something serious here beyond France's commercial peak, which is very different British and French views of how to deal with America. And I think you can lump Australia in this here. Britain and Australia essentially accept that countering China in the Indo-Pacific requires accepting US leadership, much in the way that the NATO alliance did during the Cold War against the Soviet Union. The French, and remember they pulled out of the military command in NATO during the Cold War, you know, wish to have a much more goalist approach. You know, they wish to navigate US-China competition in the Indo-Pacific. You know, obviously, they are closer in terms of values to the US than China, but they didn't want to sign up to basically what the US, you know, essentially letting the US set the strategy in consultation. They want to have their own strategy, this strategic autonomy that Macron likes to talk about so much. And I think what you are seeing here is there is a method in the French decision to escalate this dispute and keep escalating it. They are trying to use it to persuade other EU nations to back this French concept of strategic autonomy, saying, you know, even the Biden administration, however much they talk about being your friends and consulting with allies, will essentially do what they think is in America's best interests. You've got to join us. I mean, the problem with this on strategic autonomy is if you are a Baltic state or Poland or the Czech Republic, who do you wish to ultimately rely on for your security vis-a-vis Russia, France or the US? You know, Macron has been very keen to reset relations with Russia. And I think that, you know, I think for that reason, you are not going to get the whole EU27 to sign up to this concept of European strategic autonomy, which would obviously, you know, be largely led by France as a major military player left in the EU now, but a diplomatic player now that the UK has left. And I think this is the challenge for Macron. How, you know, he might well, and he has, to be fair to him, succeeded in moving the German view on strategic autonomy. But moving the views of East European and Baltic states on this question is going to be very, very difficult for him.
And Isabel, just finally, looking at Boris Johnson's trip to America, Prime Minister met with Joe Biden last night. There's been lots of stories about how it's been bad news for a UK-US trade deal, but I suppose more broadly speaking, is the trip going well in terms of Number 10's perspective?
I don't think it's a disaster in terms of the expectations that Number 10 had. I don't think it was expected to be anything other than an attempt to improve or repair relations between the two men. And to a certain extent, the row with France has taken a lot of the heat out of any awkwardness between Boris Johnson and Joe Biden, because there's just very angry French politicians on the sidelines who are distracting from everything. I think the trade deal and Boris Johnson's inability to guarantee that there's going to be a trade deal by the next election is domestically a bit awkward, you know, given his previous promises about this. But again, I don't think, against the backdrop of energy prices and all the crises back home, I don't think that there's a particular worry in number 10 about how things are going.
Thank you, Isabel. Thank you, James.